Well, good morning. So I was on vacation, and for those that don't know me, by the way, if you're a guest, my name is Charlie, and I have the privilege of serving here as the campus pastor. And I was up on the lake shore. We weren't that far away. We were in Huron, which was still an awesome time with family. Great time to recharge and jet ski and get on the lake and do some fun things. So it was really good. But I'm really glad to be back. And today, I was talking to Doug earlier. Today, I wore my hot sauce shirt so I could bring the heat. You know, figured something might help, you know? Just kidding. But I like this shirt for some reason. I don't know. I don't know where I got it. Goodwill, maybe? I don't know. It was a find. Wherever I got it, it was a find. We're going to be continuing our series today in Into the Deep. And we're going to be looking at a story from Christ's ministry. Now, as we're moving on through the book of Luke, we're coming to story after story now where Jesus interacts with different people, different types of brokenness, different situations. He's addressing all sorts of different things. And so here we are in one of these particular stories, and we're going to be in Luke 5 today. So we're going to be in one of these particular stories. But before we start, this is a little bit different than how I start most of my messages. Here's what I want to say. I just want to take a quick second to say this message, this story, has the potential to really impact your heart. I believe that what God has in his word in this story truly could make a big impact if you let it. But it's up to you. It's not up to me as the preacher. It's not up to me to bring a fiery message. It's up to you to be willing to receive the message. And if I give a little time out for any time you're listening to a sermon, here's a little pro tip. You can get anything out of any sermon, generally speaking, unless it's complete heresy. But generally speaking, the number of times I hear people say, oh, it was not that great of a sermon today, or oh, he really didn't bring it, or I, you know, whatever. Okay, I understand that it's good to be critical and have your Bibles open as you're learning, and not every sermon's going to blow you away. I totally get that. But you can get something out of every sermon because it's up to you, the listener. It's up to you and your posture to open your heart and say, Spirit, what do you want to speak to me today? Because this is his word, and it's relevant for our lives. And so that is my challenge. I'll leave it there. Take and do with it as you will. So let's dig in to this text today. But I want to start first with a story. This is something that happened recently. I was on a missions trip. And went to Philadelphia. So I was on a missions trip. This was about a year ago. I took a group of fifth graders to Philly. Yeah, exactly. It was something, the church in Indiana that I was at, it was something that we did every single year. It was an awesome opportunity for us to expose these young people to what it means to live on mission. And so we would take them to this inner city mission ministry in Philadelphia. And it was a really great ministry. It was there for many, many years, and many people came to know the Lord and were saved because of this ministry. And so here we were with a big two or three van fulls of middle school students driving to Philly from Indiana. It was a long drive. And so we get into the city, and we get settled in, and it's kind of a culture shock for a lot of these kids, and honestly for me in some ways, because Philly has a lot of brokenness. And right where this urban center is in the middle of all of that brokenness. I mean, you don't walk around the streets at night alone. It can be dangerous. But what we learned through this situation, and what you learn anytime you go on, especially on a missions trip, is that the safest place to be is in the center of God's will. And so if you're going on a ministry, if you're going on a mission trip like this, if you're in the middle of this serving the Lord, then you don't have to worry. You know, we make smart decisions and all those things, but we were where we needed to be, serving the Lord. And so we did a lot of great work that week, but there was this one particular moment, this story that stood out to me, is when we went to a place called McPherson Square, also known as Needle Park. And I remember getting ready, the leader of this inner city mission is pumping us up and saying, listen, you're going to see things you've never imagined ever in your life, just so you're aware. He's telling the leaders this, okay? So us as adults are like, what are these fifth graders? What are they going to do? And they're pumping us up. Listen, you're going to see things. There's going to be lots of needles. Just trust me, there's going to be lots of heroin everywhere. Don't touch the needles. It's called Needle Park for a reason. And so we roll up to Needle Park. And as we're rolling up, the leader is also telling us, FYI, the police, the chief of police came on the radio about 6 months ago and said they're no longer going to charge for petty drug crimes. So even if you have drugs in possession you're using, they just let people do it. They're not going to charge for it anymore. So here's the ground is set. We're ready to go into this place. And we roll up. One of the vans rolls up. They slide the door back for the kids to jump out. And sitting literally as close as this front row are 10 people with a needle in their arm shooting up heroin in front of this bus. Shooting up heroin. As far as you could see, this huge park, everywhere you could see were hundreds of people just laying on the grass, strung out on heroin. You could see needles, literally, as far as you could see, needles covering the ground everywhere. You stay on the sidewalks, because if you walk on the grass, you're going to step on a needle. Can you guys feel the tension yet? Unreal. If you want to see a broken place, go to Philadelphia. It is the heroin capital of the world. They have more ODs there than anywhere in the country. And so we're there in McPherson Square, shocked by what we see. And as you can imagine, I began to fill in the gaps on these people's story. See, the problem is my heart needed a heart check there today, because as you can imagine, based off of what I've explained, here I am, I'm beginning to judge the people. I'm beginning to say, seriously? You were a doctor and now you're strung out on heroin? You're young? You're beautiful? You have so much going for you? You have a family and you're gonna use heroin? And I began to fill in the gaps of their story and I began to judge them. It was such an easy thing to do. And I'm being fully transparent here that I did it. There was this resistance where I was like, that is them, here, this is us versus them, and what they're doing, they're ruining their lives. They're keeled over because of heroin. They are ODing in front of us. There's so much brokenness. And there I was, judging them. But the best part of the story, and the people that taught me the real lesson there, was the fifth graders that day. Those fifth graders, I kid you not, those fifth graders, it began to pour. Those fifth graders took off all their ponchos and gave them to the homeless drug addicts. Those fifth graders are going up and literally sharing the gospel, telling them about Jesus and Christ's love for them throughout the entire day, walking around this entire park, fearless, telling them about Jesus. When they hear broken stories, they were stopping and they were praying for them. When it started pouring, there's this old library in the middle of the park that's pretty dilapidated and run down. And all of the homeless, when I say homeless, they're all drug addicts. That's why they're homeless, because they're drug addicts. They're all packed in there. So there's like 50 or 100 of them packed in this little porch just under this overhang. And the kids, we were all wearing green shirts. It was like a green wave of fifth grade. I mean, I'm talking 11 and 12-year-old kids. 11-year-old kids. A wave of them heading towards these people to love them, to engage with them, to be Jesus to them. That day at Needle Park changed my life forever. And it was because of those fifth graders. It was because they got it. But it's so easy to be like me, isn't it? I mean, think about it. We're here in Avon Lake. We live in the west side of Cleveland. We live in a really affluent area. We have all we need. It's really easy for us to say us versus them and to fill in the blank on their story. It's really easy for us to look at them and say, they made those decisions, they are the marginalized, they are the outcasts, and to judge them, to be judgy. I mean, come on, I can't be the only one. It's so easy to do, isn't it? It's so easy. And yet we do it all the time. But you're in good company if that's what you struggle with, because we have been struggling with it all the time. I mean, literally, since the start of humanity, we have been struggling with this, since sin came into the world. And whether you are in Philly or Africa or Northeast Ohio, people struggle with it. They've been struggling with it today, and they've been struggling with it in Jesus' time. We label people as the outcasts. We label them as the marginalized. and we put up a wall, there's a resistance to them. When I'm reading the story, and we're going to look in a minute, I feel that tension. I feel that pull. These lepers in Jesus' time that we're going to look at today, they were the outcast. They were marginalized. See, when you had a defiling skin disease in Christ's time, you were cast out of the city. You were set aside because you were considered unclean. And when, as this skin disease would eat you alive, and literally you would begin to die slow death, you were lonely and you were set apart and outcast. Take a look here in Leviticus. It says, this is from the Mosaic Law. Anyone with such a defiling disease must wear torn clothes, let their hair be unkept, cover the lower part of their face, and cry out, unclean, unclean. As long as they have the disease, they remain unclean. They must live alone. They must live outside the camp. They suffered. But the thing they suffered the most was the loss of community. These people were cast out, and they were unable to worship their God. When you were ceremonially unclean, you were unable to enter the temple to worship Yahweh with the community. And so to be cast out of the community meant to be cast out of the ability to worship God and be together with God's people. These people were outcasts because they were unclean. Now, before you get shocked by this, you have to understand that they didn't understand diseases like we do today. They didn't have modern medicine like we do today. And so this was an opportunity to care for the community. Because if somebody had a crazy skin disease like leprosy that truly eats your skin and it covers your whole body, if they had that, then it would spread all over and everyone would get sick and die. And so to protect the community, this is why the Lord set these things up in place. The problem is, just like all of us, the Jews took it a little too far. And so they began to ostracize these people. They began to claim that they were sinners. They were true outcasts. To be a leper was to be an outcast. They were viewed as, you're a sinner, and that's why you're sick. You did this to yourself. And anytime they would get to, don't get too close. Unclean, don't get too close. Get back. You have leprosy. Anytime these people walk around, they'd have to yell, unclean, unclean, and they were separated. Needle Park today, lepers back then. We have people that are outcasts. And this tension that these people felt, this pain that they felt, anytime they saw another person, they had to distance themselves. They were cut off. And the biggest pain was they were unable to worship their God in the temple. Their biggest pain was they were not able to have relationships with the people they loved because they were sick. So we're going to look at this story, a story where Jesus interacts with a leper. And it's a powerful story. It has many truths for us. We're going to be in Luke 5. You can turn there. Luke 5, starting in verse 12. And as you turn there, there's a couple key questions I want us to think about and ask. First, how does Jesus interact with outcasts or the lepers? And how should that impact my life? How does he interact with them? Should that impact your life? That's the first series of questions right there, kind of together. And I want you just to think through that as we unpack this story today. How does he interact with the outcasts? And how does that change or impact your life? And then, this might be one of the most important ones. Where do I see myself in this story? What character are you? Where do I see myself in this story? Well, if you have your Bibles turned to Luke, you can stand up with me as I read Luke 5, 12 through 16. I'm going to read that for us today. And it'll be on the screen if you don't have it. I'm not very good at flipping while I read, so I apologize if I make a mistake here. But Let's read. It says this: while Jesus was in one of the towns, a man came along who was covered with leprosy. When he saw Jesus, he fell with his face to the ground and begged him, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. "I am willing," he said, "be clean." And immediately the leprosy left him. Then Jesus ordered him, "Don't tell anyone, but go show yourself to the priests and offer the sacrifices that Moses commanded for your cleansing as a testimony to them." Yet the news about him spread all the more, so the crowds of people came to hear him and be healed of their sickness. But Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. You may have a seat. So here's Jesus. He's traveling through Judea. He's teaching in these towns. And Luke doesn't give us a specific town or location in the story. Some of the other accounts do. But I think that's because Luke wants us to focus in on what took place with Christ himself. We can get lost in the details sometimes, but I love what Dr. Luke does as he writes this book, is that he steers our minds and our hearts to what we need to realize, what we need to see. And he really gets some great, powerful truths and theological ideas across to us. So that's important to understand. If we don't see the details, it's because we're supposed to focus on other things. So here we are, we're entering a town, and let's take a look again at the first part. This leper comes before Jesus, and he fell with his face to the ground and begged him. And he says this, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." Remember, this leper, he is an outcast. People have filled in the story of his life. It says that he is covered with leprosy. He doesn't have a little bit. He's covered. He's lived a long life where it's spread all over his body, and he's considered unclean. Don't forget that. He's considered unclean. He's supposed to stay away from people. His death sentence has been set. He's supposed to live out the rest of his life till he dies, separated from everybody else. And all the people had their assumptions about him. But let's just pause and say, we do it too, don't we? Here are some examples that came to mind. We see someone who is homeless, and we think, there's so many jobs available. Come on. No one can get enough help. Go get a job. How many times have you thought that? I mean, I have. Go get a job. Come on. Just go to work. There's so many people that need help. Or maybe we see a pregnant woman who is single, and we think all sorts of things about her story. Where's the dad? How did she get pregnant? What kind of lifestyle does she live? Dot, dot, dot. We begin to fill in their story. Or what about the AIDS epidemic in our world? In Africa, people that struggle to have AIDS, or all over. It's so similar to what we see with leprosy, and we're so quick to judge and ostracize those people, to marginalize them. Or maybe it's someone who's addicted to drugs or lives a life as an alcoholic. Because even if we don't know a person's full story, we gladly fill in the details from our imagination. We gladly fill them in. So, let's look again. This leper, he's judged, people around him. I'm sure people are following Jesus. They see this, and they've already filled in his story. And what does he do? It says he comes to Jesus, and he fell with his face to the ground and begged him. And what does he say? I love this. He says, if you are willing, you can make me clean. The emphasis was on the ability and willingness. I love, there's so much profound truth here. First, he calls him Lord. Do you notice this? He calls him Lord. He lays down at his feet and he says, Lord. There's a sense of reverence and respect. And I don't know if he knew who Jesus was, but he knew that he could heal and he had enough faith for that. So he bows down and he says, Lord. If, not if you can, or if you're able, I don't know if you have enough power. I've heard things, but I'm not sure. Oh, he says, if you're willing, you can make me clean. What faith? What faith this man had. The man knew that Jesus could, so he asked if Jesus was willing. He knew Jesus could. He had faith. He said, I know who you are, Jesus. Here is the moment that I have been waiting for. Please, Jesus, make me clean. There's an important truth here. If you notice the wording that he uses, he says, make me clean. This stood out to me as I was studying. He doesn't say, heal me. Isn't that interesting? Nowhere in the story with the leper does it say anything about healing. The emphasis is not on healing. The emphasis is on being made ceremonially clean. See, here's the difference between healing and being cleansed. Now, Jesus does heal, and we know that we can pray for healing, and we see stories all throughout where healing is the focus, but in this story, the focus is on the cleansing. What this man was asking for was to be brought back into the fold. His focus was on worship. His focus was on being brought back into a place where he could worship with his family and his community. He could be made clean again so that he wouldn't have to walk around and say, I'm unclean, don't touch me, I'm unclean. He wanted to be made ceremonially clean. If you're willing, you can make me clean. What does Jesus do? I love what he does in verse 13. Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. He says, I am willing. He said, be clean. And immediately, the leprosy left him. Let's just sit in that for a minute. Jesus was willing, and he touched the leper. He literally, in the middle of what was going on the outskirts of this town, as he came to this town, he literally stopped and touched the leper first, before he said anything. He touched him. How long do you think it had been since that man had been touched? Oh man, years. He paused and he touched him. And then he says, I am willing, be clean. He touched the leper. It was a move of both compassion and authority. Let's unpack that a little bit. He says, I am willing, be clean, and touches the man. The touching was powerful because a couple things. First, it says this, I love you enough with a deep compassion and love that I'm willing to reach into your life, step on your level, and touch you. Physical touch is a powerful tool. So Jesus, in an act of compassion, he touches the man. But don't miss this too. This is an act of authority. Because what Jesus is saying is, I not only do I love you, but I have authority over sickness. I have authority over this defiling disease that makes you unclean. I have so much authority that I have the authority to actually make you clean. See, this was the job of the priests. And only two places in the Old Testament do we see where God healed somebody of leprosy. That's the only two places that we hear about it. It wasn't a common thing to be healed of leprosy. And it was only the priest that could pronounce somebody fully healed. It was only his job until Christ came. And Jesus is saying, I have the authority that no disease can come in my way. And not only that, I have the authority to cleanse you and make you clean. These words of Christ are so powerful. I am willing, be clean. I am willing, be clean. What comforting words for a broken man. This word be clean is a single word in the original language in the Greek, and it is a word spoken over somebody to speak cleansing. Literally a one word meaning be, you are cleansed, fully cleansed, be clean, you are now clean. It's a powerful word. I am willing. He doesn't say I'm able, he says I am willing, because we all know he's able. Be clean. Jesus entered his world and changed the trajectory of his life forever. Jesus was willing to enter his world. Jesus was willing to step in to what he was going through to literally touch him. A beautiful connection on the human level is touch. He was willing to touch him and change his life forever, because now he is clean. And now he can worship. Now he can engage in the community. Now he's no longer an outcast. The man was focused on being restored, not getting something for himself. That's the idea of the cleansing versus the healing. This man, he didn't say, Lord, please take away this away. He said, I want to be restored, please. Nothing more do I want than to be restored. Bring me back to what was lost and what was broken. So if you remember, I asked you, who are we in the story? I asked you, I said, who do you represent when you think about the story? Here's the reality. We are the leper. Let me say it another way. You are the leper. Let's make it a little more personal. You are the outcast. You are marginalized and set aside from the camp of God. You are separated because of sin. And if it were not for Jesus Christ coming into your life to bring restoration to your soul, that would be your story. Jesus offers cleansing and restoration for the spiritual outcast. See, this story for me came alive in such a powerful way, because what I began to realize was, when I read this story, it's not so much about the fact that I can go and help somebody who's going through something, then pray for healing that Jesus would heal them. That's a powerful truth, and there's a lot of passages that talk about it. But what we realize in this story is that we are the leper. We are the person who has been set aside from the camp. We are the outcasts and the marginalized. And that should change a lot of things about how we view a lot of the broken people in the world. Take a look at Genesis, this powerful passage in Genesis. It says, so the Lord God banished him from the Garden of Eden to work the ground from which he had been taken. After he drove the man out, he placed on the east side of the Garden of Eden cherubim and a flaming sword flashing back and forth to guard the way to the tree of life. Banished, drove out. That is us. This is what happened when sin was brought into the world thanks to Adam. They were banished. A lot like that leprosy language, isn't it? Banished and driven out. Look at what Romans 5 says. Romans 5 says, but God demonstrates his own love for us, that while we were still sinners, I love this, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since then, we have been made justified by his blood. How much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? For if while we were God's enemies, again, banished, God's enemies, still sinners, cast out from the camp, ostracized, marginalized. That is who we are apart from Christ. That is our story as spiritual outcasts. Friends, that's who we are. And we have to realize that. That is who we are. We are spiritual lepers. This story about the leper is the story about our souls. We're spiritual outcasts. We're banished. We're unworthy. We're enemies of God. We're unfit to worship. We're outside the camp. We're unclean. We're sinners, and we're doomed for death. We're just living out our death sentence. This is us, apart from Jesus Christ. And this story of the leper is a story of the gospel. It's a story of Jesus changing the trajectory of our lives. Look at 2 Corinthians 5:21. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. This language here became sin for us. It became a sin offering for us. It means that he willingly entered our world and changed the trajectory of our lives. He willingly stepped in and touched our lives. He stepped into our mess and took it upon himself. He touched us. There's a really old song called He Touched Me by Bill Gaither. And I know some of you more seasoned folk, I'm sure I've heard this song, but let me just read how powerful these words are. Just listen to these words as we think about this idea of Jesus willingly entering the story and touching the leper and spiritually entering our story and impacting and touching us. Listen to this. It says, shackled by a heavy burden, neath a load of guilt and shame, then the hand of Jesus touched me, and now I am no longer the same. He touched me, oh, he touched me, and oh, the joy that floods my soul. Something happened, and now I know he touched me and made me whole. Since I met this blessed Savior, since he cleansed and made me whole, I will never cease to praise him. I'll shout it while eternity rolls. He touched me, oh, he touched me, and oh, the joy that floods my soul. Something happened, and now I know he touched me and made me whole. Jesus stepped into my mess. The mess going on in my mind, the sin I commit, he willingly stepped in it and touched me. Charlie Miller put his arm around me and said, I love you so much that I'm willing to enter your mess and change your life forever. You may be marginalized. You may have a death sentence on your head, but I am willing to step in and change the trajectory of your life. Don't miss out on the truth that you are the leper in this story. You're not Jesus in the story. You're not the onlookers in the story. You are the leper in this story. And this truth impacts your life today. It's fascinating how the story ends. It's worth looking at. So if you look at the story ends, it says in verse 15 and 16, yet the news spread about him. Remember, Jesus tells him, don't tell anyone, please. Yeah. The news spread about him all the more so that the crowds of people came to hear him and be healed by their sickness. But Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. See, when Jesus sent the man to the temple to tell the priest, he said, don't tell anyone, because he wasn't ready to blast the news out. But he wanted him to go to the temple to be made ceremonially cleansed by the law. They would proclaim him that. But it was also an opportunity for him to show his authority to the priests, because that guy would come and say, hey, I got healed by this Jesus guy. And they would see him and go, really? And they would say, yeah, he cleansed me ceremonially and I'm clean. And it would be an act of power and authority shown to the priests, kind of in their face, saying, you think you got authority? I have authority over you. But he told the man, don't tell anyone, please. I'm not ready. I'm not ready to let the cat out of the bag yet. And here's why. And we see it in this word that's used, healed. If you notice, earlier in the story, the focus was on cleansing. And now it says these people have gathered around him to be healed. It's like the word got out that Jesus can heal us. He's got some magic, some juju. He can rub it on me and I can be all healed of all my ailments. And so I can only imagine the mob of people that started coming to Jesus. And Christ is saying, listen, I have so much more in store for you. It's all about my kingdom. It's about spiritual healing, not physical healing. That's, physical healing is great, but if it doesn't lead to spiritual healing, what good is it? And so Jesus, he retreats like he always does into the mountains. My kind of guy. I love the mountains. He retreats, he withdraws to lonely places. That word literally means the eremos, or wilderness. So he retreats to the wilderness to recharge, to get away. Here's a reminder for us from this section. Jesus is not a vending machine. Amen? It's so easy for us to say, Lord, please give me this. I'll be a good boy. Please, Lord. And we can pray that way. Jesus is not a genie in a bottle. Jesus is not a get-out-of-jail-free card. Jesus is the Son of God who offers you cleansing and restoration for your outcast soul. Jesus didn't come to do cool miracles and show his power. Jesus came to change our lives, to build his kingdom. For Christ, the goal is cleansing and restoration. And that should change how we interact with the world. So let's land the plane. We have the leper, the outcast. We have the spiritual outcast, that is us. And God's impacted us and has changed our lives. So now let's connect the dots. Once we begin to realize who we are apart from Christ, we begin to look at the broken people in our world a little differently, don't we? We begin to see pain and brokenness. We begin to see people who are addicted to drugs or strung out. We begin to see people who have made bad decisions. We begin to see homeless. We begin to see all of these broken situations a little differently, because apart from Christ, that's me. And if that is how you view the world, if that is how you view brokenness, it changes everything. How we view our lives in this story, the fact that we are the leper, that should change everything. We now have new glasses to look through to see the world. We now can say, that should have been me. That should have been me. But Jesus Christ saved my soul. Why don't we do it? We have so many resources. We have so much ability. We have so much time to give to the Lord, and we can serve so many broken people, yet somehow we so willingly put a wall between us and them. We talk, but talk is cheap. We don't do. I was so challenged when I was reading about this and thinking about the fact that, wait, I'm a spiritual leper. God has changed my heart, but I just thought about that person I looked at and judged in McDonald's the other day. And thought to myself, I don't really want to go have a conversation with them. They smell, or they, you fill in the blank. They're rougher on the edges. They might say the F word. They might cuss. I can't listen to that. Go ahead. We need a heart check. One of the best ways for me to have a heart check is to meet heroes of the faith in my life who live this out. I'm going to tell you a quick story about a man who lives this out in his everyday life. He sees those who are less than him, and he steps into their life and changes the trajectory of their life. He lives out Christ to them, and he lives in Africa. His name is Dr. Paul, and here's a picture of him when I met him in the Central African Republic, the poorest country in the world. And if you listen to me a little bit, you'll learn pretty quickly that I love Africa, and I've fallen in love with the people of the CAR, especially Paul Dabona. This man has nothing to his name, yet he has taken in 3 or 4 different orphans into his home. He took care of his mother until she died. He has reached out to Muslims, who are an unreached people group. He learned their language just so he could reach them. He has a nutrition program. He opened up a clinic in Africa to care for the most broken people. Think about infectious diseases and AIDS and all these things that he experiences, and he just shirks at it. Because his God is bigger than that, and he has been called to reach the marginalized. Here's a picture of him. That's him and his wife and Mike Taylor, the man who runs the organization Three Strands, and a powerful team of people who are serving the poorest country in the world, the Central African Republic. Broken people. I had a chance to meet, this was a Muslim warrior. He literally shoots poison darts from his bow, and he is outcast from everybody in the country. Everyone hates them. And here he is brought into the clinic to be cared for. By the way, these are evil spells and parts of the Quran that are draped around his neck. Lots of witchcraft mixed in with Islam here with this people group. Dr. Paul learned his language. He's not even part of this people group. He learned his language just so he could reach them. And then here's another picture of a woman I met. This is everything she owns to her name, this pot right here. This is her home. Her whole life is in this hut. And yet Dr. Paul and his wife were willing to set up a clinic to reach people like this. He looks at the broken people and he sees an opportunity. He looks at the health God's given him. He sees an opportunity because he understands that he is the leper in the story. He is the spiritual outcast. And therefore, he is called to love because Christ loved him. That should change everything. How you live your life should change because of what Jesus has done for you. How you view broken and smelly and drugged up people who have ruined their lives in so many ways, yada, 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 fill in the blank, that should change because of the blood of Jesus Christ and how it impacted your life. We're going to sing a song together, and it kind of has a new meaning for me, not going to lie. It's Glorious Day. And as we think about it, I was buried beneath my sin and my shame. We think about our lot in life apart from Christ. It now begins to change things. When we think about now, what does that mean for our mission to live for him and live on mission, reaching those people who are marginalized and outcast, the lepers in our culture, in our society. When we begin to worship, praising God for how he's changed our life, it should build something, well something up inside your heart to say, I want to do something different about it. I want to use my resources, my skills. I want to use what God has given me to go after the lost and the least of these that are hurting, broken in my context. God has given us a mission. We have something to do, church. It's called the Great Commission. It's called going after people with the love of Jesus, sharing our faith, caring for those people who are the outcasts, and bringing them in to life in Jesus, saying you can be ceremonially cleansed because of Jesus Christ and the blood of the Lamb. He has cleansed us. We are now made clean before him, brought back into the fold to worship our God. Let's stand together as I pray. God, apart from us, we have a death sentence. We are the marginalized, the leper, the separated from you. But Jesus, you changed the trajectory of our life and our narrative forever. For that, we are thankful. May we look at people in our world who are broken and say, that should be me. And go after them with love and compassion because of what you've given us, Lord. We pray this all in the mighty, compassionate, and authoritative name of Jesus. Amen.